I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell on Demand. It's the podcast version of the show, same show. And you can pick up on what you missed. We got really interesting stuff coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. There's two stories out there. One, the Wall Street Journal has, that says the Chinese lab mapped the coronavirus 2 weeks before the Chinese Communist Party told the world. So for 2 weeks, researchers had isolated and mapped the virus, you know, the genetic mapping, in late December 2019, before Beijing told the rest of the planet. We'll talk about that. And even bigger, and this is just terrifying, China is now studying a 100% fatal COVID strain.
I think you don't have COVID, do you?
No. No, but if you get this one, it's 100% that you're going to be dead. We're going to talk with News Nation's senior national correspondent, Brian Enten. He's investigating this. They are experimenting with a mutant COVID-19 strain known as GXP2V. They have, and by the way, the Chinese are actively creating and injecting this virus into humanized mice. I don't know what a humanized mouse is, but it's the brains are engineered to reflect genetic makeup similar to people to see what happens. And what they found is 100% death rate in 8 days of the mice. This is what the Chinese are working on.
It's been nice knowing you and working with you.
Now, I know that your other great, I actually cover all three great fears, all right? Mm-hmm. Infectious disease, mm-hmm. 30th anniversary today in mm-hmm. Northridge. Were you here for the Northridge?
I was not, but I'll tell you, I was in the Bay Area and I was doing mornings at the time and the wire service was flashing and it said something, I think it was, huge earthquake hits Northridge. And I had a lot of family members in Northridge and in the San Fernando Valley. And here I was in the Bay Area and trying to get a hold of my family members. And, of course, the phone lines were not working. It was really scary.
But I can't tap into a trauma from personal experience being here.
I came to help with the cleanup.
Oh,
and
okay.
Let's just say my family's homes were just...
Oh, were they really wrecked?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you lived in that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. That's why I worry. Look, 30 years, we are due. That was a 6.7. I'm assuming we're going to have a 7.2 or something.
No, there's been like three big LA quakes. There's one in Long Beach, I think, in 1933, and then the one in 1971 in the San Fernando Valley, and then the Northridge quake 1994. Actually, Eric, you weren't even born for that quake.
No, my mom was pregnant with me when it happened.
Oh, so you did get shook up a little.
I guess.
In the womb. Might have banged your head in the...
My aunt, though, was for an aftershock. She was in Brent's Deli, and the way she knew an aftershock was happening was all the salami hanging started swaying. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. So I was. My wife and I were asleep, right? We'd already moved to L.A., in fact, we hadn't been here that long and quickly realized Los Angeles was insane, an insane place to be. And so the shaking started at 4:31. I remember looking at the clock and it was shaking hard. We were in bed and I felt like scrambled eggs being shook around in a pan. It was that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Like it was going back and forth, back and forth. We had this huge, heavy framed mirror right over the bed, at the head of the bed. And my wife grabbed the back of my hair, right? Pulled really hard, snapped my head back. So I thought she was going to break my neck. And since she pulled my head back so hard, I looked up and I saw this big, heavy mirror shaking and rattling over me. And I said, well, I'm dead. Either she's snapping my neck or that thing is going
to
come down.
Oh, I thought maybe she was snapping your neck to get your head away from the mirror so it didn't come crashing down on you.
No, it was just a reflex she had because she was panicking. But then I'm looking that up. I go, I actually remember this thought. What's going to kill me? Her yank of the back of my head or that mirror coming down?
But look, a miracle. You survived.
It was a miracle. One of the two should have killed me.
So were you terrified? Because you always make fun of me being afraid of earthquakes. Oh, come on.
No, I wasn't. I actually thought, oh, this is cool.
Being shaken around like scrambled eggs is cool.
What can I tell you?
Look, we just felt one a couple of weeks ago in the station. Remember, Deborah?
Yes, I do remember. It was on, I was just about to do the news on the Gary and Shannon show when the earthquake hit. But that was a 6.4.
That's a whole 6.7.
Well, yeah.
That's a whole different feeling. I also remember looking out the window because we were living in a townhouse right on the edge of LA and Beverly Hills. And looking out the window, and I saw all these green explosions because the transformer boxes on the utility poles were all exploding. And there would be a green flash and a green flash. I think there were three of them. As everything was shaking and we were getting, the electricity grid was getting disconnected from the world.
Did you have a lot of damage in your home?
No. Just a wicker bookcase. All the books fell off of that. I think there was a small table, like a decorative table in the corner of the landing of the staircase. And that had a tile top and that broke. But the thing is, I went into the closet, and it was pitch black in the closet. I'm trying to find clothes. And I ended up, like, putting on, I don't know, like, pajamas and a suit jacket, something ridiculous like that. I couldn't see. Because we went outside, because you were getting immediate aftershocks. So we stood outside with all the other people, and I hated that because, you know, everyone's buzzing about, and now I got to talk to people, and I got to make small talk.
At 4:30 in the morning.
It's like, I don't want to see people. But then the program director here at the time, David Hall, called me up, asked me if I wanted to go up in a helicopter during Handel's show. And, okay, I'm not doing anything. And so I got into the helicopter and reported live on the air over the University, Cal State Northridge.
Yeah.
And I think we went over the 10 freeway, too, where that had collapsed.
Wow.
And I remember, that was the last time I was in a helicopter because I remember feeling terribly nauseous. I hadn't eaten, right? Because in the panic, we ran outside, went back inside. He called. I get in the car. I go I went to Van Nuys to get in the helicopter, I think. And I didn't eat. And then all the motion sickness that morning in the helicopter without eating, I just wanted to open the door and retch all over Northridge. I decided I'm not going in those things anymore.
Wow.
So it was, but you see, that feeds into my need for excitement. That's why I didn't get scared. I found it's like, oh, this is exciting.
So let me ask you this. If your roof collapsed, would you have been scared? If there's a 7.2 tonight, oh, please, universe, don't let that happen.
you just sent it out into the universe.
I know. Can I retract that?
No, it's too late.
Let's put it back in my mouth.
They're already working on it. They're already working on that 7.2 that Deborah proposed.
No, that was just a dream. It was a figment of your imagination. No, but seriously, if you had more damage, if you saw things just flying all over the place, if you flew to the other side of the room, you wouldn't be scared? You wouldn't.
I suppose I could be scared, but there was nothing in this that was really scary to me.
Because I've talked to people who, seriously, they had panic attacks.
No, I'm not trying to minimize it. I realize I have weird reactions to things.
Uh-huh.
It's probably why I do this show. I've always been fascinated by nature and weather and earthquakes and just anything. So I wanted to see a tornado up close. It's that kind of thing. I'd probably be one of those guys chasing tornadoes if I grew up in Oklahoma. Get in the car and see how close I could get. Mm. You know, I'm fascinated by guys who fly planes inside hurricanes. Yeah, wow. When I see those kinds of documentaries.
Yeah.
It's
We're very different, you and, yeah, and me.
Yeah. Notice that. All right. When we come back, Gavin Newsom, here's a sign that he's running for president because he's decided to block the tackle football ban. We'll talk about that next. So your kids can play tackle football still in the free state of California. Deborah Marr is live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
You're listening to John Kobelch on demand from KFI AM 640.
Gavin Newsom is now, I think the political term they use is pivoting. He is pivoting away from some of his invasive nanny state, left-wing, progressive, I want to control your life policies. The idiots in this legislature, all these progressive fools, as if they haven't had enough bad ideas that have wrecked the state, they wanted to get rid of tackle football. Tackle football for kids age 12 and under. And they were hell-bent on rushing this through the legislature. Shockingly, that seems to be the most important thing on their plate right now. For all the, remember last year, how long did we have to fight to get the legislature to pass that sex trafficking bill for underage girls to turn that into a felony that sticks? Remember that whole battle? That went on for months. Actually, I think years. I think the legislator who wrote the bill originally was pushing it 3 years ago. So for 3 years, there was this life and death battle so that young girls can't be sexually trafficked in California without a felony being charged that gave you real prison time. But banning tackle football for little kids? Wow. That was on the express train. So it looked like it was going to head to Newsom's desk very quickly. And Newsom released a statement saying, "I am deeply concerned about the health and safety of our young athletes, but an outright ban is not the answer. My administration will work with the legislature and the bill's offer to strengthen safety in youth football while ensuring parents have the freedom to decide which sports are most appropriate for their children." Boy, I'd like to hear him say that. I want to hear those words come out of his mouth, not just in a statement. While ensuring parents have the freedom to decide? What? There's no such thing anymore in California, the freedom to decide. Yeah, right. But apparently Fox News was going to run a segment the next day featuring a longtime youth football coach who is the main opponent of this bill. And also a Democratic strategist in Los Angeles pointed out that football is the number one thing on TV. It's an economic driver across our economy for advertising dollars and teams and athletes and coaches. This is going to make California conform to the stereotype that everyone wants to have. So their political strategists were saying, don't do this because the country loves football. moms and dads love their kids playing football, and they're just not, parents are not the nervous ninnies that the media is. The media is made up of real, they're like the worst kind of helicopter parents, except they're not my parents. They're not my kids' parents. They're media people trying to, they're progressive, they're left wing. And by their very nature, they want to interfere in people's freedoms and their private decisions. And they've always got a study. They've always got an excuse. There's always some kind of injury they want to prevent, right? They want to control what you eat, what you drink, how much you eat, how much you drink. You know, you have all these bells going off in your car every 30 seconds. I don't know about your car, but my car just will not shut up. There is constant warnings because I'm sure they want me to live, right? I'm sure they really care whether I live or die in an accident. No, it's the control freak aspect of government. And it's completely out of control. It's insane here in California. And also some of the legislators started pointing out that, you know, all right, for example, Daniel Robinson is a coach with the Sacramento Youth Football, and he was part of the protest. And he said that football provides a safe and structured environment for kids. And why should the government choose what sport a kid plays? And one black legislator said, football is really good for a lot of black kids who need something to do after school. And, you know, sports is a great way for young men to get out all their excess energy and aggression in a controlled way. And so why are you going to take these kids? Because they've done studies. And boys and girls who are regularly in sports and are practicing every afternoon are much less involved with all the bad stuff. Much less likely to be involved in crime, get arrested, much less likely to get involved in drugs, alcohol, early sex, pregnancy, you name it. And it just makes sense. If you're, if you know, 3 hours in the afternoon, which is when most of the trouble happens, because parents aren't always home from work yet. And if the kids have too much free time, especially during that time period, that's when a lot of trouble happens. And one, the co-founder of the California Youth Football Association, Steve Famiano, said it was all over national news. I think it puts a black eye on our state. We're kicking off the 2024 legislative year with this. I think a lot of us as Californians were embarrassed. Finally, people got embarrassed. Finally, do you know what the California approval rate is around the country? You know, they test out states in polling. You know, only 44% of the country has a positive viewpoint of California. Because all the stuff that we talk about every day here is broadcast nationally in all the news. And we look like the biggest, most dangerous, most intrusive joke in the entire nation. Because they see all the videos of the smash and grab robberies and all the homeless people dying in the streets and the drug addiction and that the felons are running loose. And here's the first legislative story of the year out of California, and they want to keep little kids from playing tackle football in the afternoon. Well, Newsom backed away from it because you can't run for president. Can you imagine in the Midwest and the South running for president, you're banning football?
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I had something to follow up on. Oh, yeah. When we were talking about Newsom backing away from banning tackle football. One guy who made a great point, Daniel Robinson, a coach with Sacramento Youth Football. Well, I mentioned him before, that he says the government shouldn't be choosing what sport a kid plays. Somebody else named Jim Cooper, he's the current Sacramento sheriff, and he wrote a law back in 2019 called the California Youth Football Act, which created safety requirements for tackle leagues. Coaches had to get extra training. Medical professionals have to be at a game. And the amount of full contact practices is limited. Now, that's a reasonable thing to do. Cooper, who is now the Sacramento sheriff, says football comes under more scrutiny than other sports, such as soccer or lacrosse, because, quote, those folks that play those sports live in affluent communities. He said, kids of color, this is who you're putting at a distinct disadvantage, because football is predominantly played in the cities by black youths. And so he noticed that the restriction was going to be on a sport that young black students play. But the sports that mostly whites tend to play, soccer and lacrosse, which can be just as dangerous. Like, Deborah, you mentioned you didn't want your son, right?
Well, I didn't want him headbutting when he was playing soccer.
Right. And that can, and God, I remember seeing a special on NBC years ago about a girl who had headbutted once too many times, and she had some kind of permanent brain damage.
Yeah.
And she was locked in her room in the dark because she couldn't process light anymore. The light made her headachy and crazy every time she wanted to live. And I don't know what ever happened to her. You know, they'd been following her for a year at a time, and it wasn't getting any better. All right, moving on, you may have seen yesterday about the guy who was tossed from his RV. It turns out this guy has worked for ESPN. He's been a sportscaster, and he and his wife bought an RV, and they were coming back from a trip. They live in a real house, but you remember the car was grinding up against the divider, and suddenly he was ejected. Dash cams on other cars caught what happened, and he is tossed over the divider and starts rolling on the freeway. Here is a report that explains everything from KTLA 5 reporter Carlos Saucedo.
Yeah, it was divine intervention.
That's the only explanation Cordell Patrick has for being alive, as he lays in his hospital bed with scrapes and bruises. Dash cam video shows the moments after Cordell was ejected from his RV Monday morning. The former ESPN sportscaster was on his way home to Valencia when his wife fell asleep behind the wheel.
I had just unbuckled my seatbelt. It was only unbuckled for 5 seconds. I noticed my wife had dozed off. So instead of going straight down the 14, we were headed toward the median. And I tried to grab the steering wheel, but before I could grab the steering wheel, we already had impact.
The impact threw him out the driver's side window. He flew over the divider onto a busy 14 freeway in the Newhall area. He was tossed 170 feet as the RV was going roughly 60 miles an hour.
All I'm thinking about, I'm getting ready to get hit by a car. I'm on a freeway. I'm on one of the busiest freeways in LA County. So what's going through my mind is I'll be dead shortly.
In the video, we see as a white SUV swerves out of the way to avoid hitting him.
I just drug myself, and then I leaned up my back against the median until help could come, and help came pretty quick. Good Samaritans.
Good Samaritans like Alf Smithy, who pulled over.
I noticed the guy's laying in the road still. I was just trying to kind of keep cars away from him. He was all the way there. That was the shocking part. Like, I asked him his name. I asked him all kinds of stuff, but he was all the way there. Like, he knew he broke his arm. He knew he broke his leg.
Cordell has road rash covering 60% of his body, multiple broken bones, and 17 stitches. His biggest takeaway?
If you didn't think there were a higher power before this, something is wrong with you, because there is. And I am a living witness, and I've got a living testimony to tell.
And somehow Cordell's wife was not injured. They also have a dog, a beagle, who survived the crash. Now, as for the RV, it was completely totaled. Cordell says that his RV days are probably over.
So the wife was fine. The dog was fine. He takes his seatbelt off for 5 seconds and gets shot out the side window over the divider into oncoming traffic.
He is so lucky.
Did you see there was a white vehicle that swerved around him, came this close to running him over?
I saw an interview with him on TV saying it was divine intervention. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, because he should have been dead.
170 feet?
Crazy.
Onto the 14 freeway. 5 seconds he takes off his seatbelt.
Well.
It's just. Of course, why is the wife falling asleep?
She was tired.
Was this
she was tired of hearing him yapping all day long, maybe.
She falls asleep. He gets it. He's the one rolling down the freeway. Yeah, well, feel bad.
She didn't do it on purpose. I mean, my gosh, can you imagine how she feels?
I don't know.
Well, imagine. How would you feel if you fell asleep at the wheel and your wife was injured like that?
Oh, no, it happened the other way around. I would be ejected from the car.
Have either of you fallen asleep at the wheel?
No.
Yes. I used to fall asleep. I have a scary story from when I was
so
really
I.
young.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't think I've ever told anybody, because it's like one of those stories you don't want to tell people.
Yeah, I would be embarrassed.
But I was, when I was about 20 years old, I worked at a newspaper. And there was a woman, and she was much older than me, but she invited me to come with her family on a vacation in North Carolina, because she had a son and a daughter my age. And I said, oh, sure. You know, it was a beach vacation in North Carolina. And we were driving back from there to New Jersey, where we all lived. And they gave me the night slot to drive. And I fell asleep. And when I woke up, we were headed right to a fork in the road. There was like a cement abutment, a metal sign, and one of those orange... Well, it was a metal post and an orange sign on top, which was telling you that the road is splitting. And I was just about to hit that, and I swerved, and everybody else was asleep. And I swerved at the last second and missed. I might have driven over the abutment, because I remember the car was shaking and rumbling, but I missed the metal post and missed the sign. And
it wasn't your time, John. It wasn't the time for the exit back.
But, you know, it was middle of the night. Somebody else drove the rest of the way.
Do you think?
That's one of those things that sits in your mind for the rest of your life, that moment.
And you love to drive. I do. So that hasn't happened again, right?
Well, sure it has. No, I...
What?
I fall asleep a lot.
Then... Don't you think you should change things? I mean, that's really dangerous.
I don't know what to do. I fall asleep driving home.
Sunflower seeds.
Why sunflower seeds?
Eat sunflower seeds while you're driving. It'll keep you awake.
Then, knowing John, he'll choke on them.
You mean I have to go vegan to stay awake? Deborah Mark. Oh, we come back. All right. Two parts coming up about the COVID virus. The Chinese have invented a 100% fatal update of the COVID virus. I am not making this up. After 2 o'clock, we're going to have Brian Enten from News Nation, the new cable news network, who's got the story. And also the Wall Street Journal has a piece today that famous Chinese lab in Wuhan, well, they mapped the deadly virus for 2 weeks before the Chinese Communist Party told the whole world about it. This is back in December of 2019. I'm telling you, there's something has been going on here. with the Chinese Communist Party, and they have a new product now, 100% fatal, according to their early research. Why are they doing this? Why are they making variants and then testing them and finding out they can kill us all? That's next.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio once and four, after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt show on command. On command, on demand, on the iHeart app.
Well, you command people to tune you in on demand.
Something this week, I'm just a beat off. More so than ever, my words are coming out in reverse.
Well, what's going on?
I don't know.
Gone to the doctor lately? Have you gotten your
I think I need a
blood
brain,
work done?
I need a brain scan. All right, here, I'm going to do one story, which will lead into story number two after Deborah's news. Story number two is we're going to be talking with Brian Enten. He's the senior national correspondent with News Nation. This is the latest, hottest cable news network. And he's got a story about China researching a 100% deadly COVID mutation. They're studying this. I don't know why. I don't know why they're doing this. It's called GXP2V. First, they humanized the brains of mice. The brains were genetically engineered to reflect the genetic makeup similar in people. And they have found out that, well, they injected the COVID-19 into 8 mice and found that they all died real fast. And it was a really a gruesome death, too. It was no fun. So we'll talk about that with Brian Enten coming up. Now, first story, though, Chinese researchers, according to the Wall Street Journal, have isolated and mapped the original COVID virus in late December 2019. That was 2 weeks before the Chinese Communist Party admitted to the world that this deadly virus existed. This is from congressional investigators. Documents from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, obtained by a House committee, reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, show that a Chinese researcher in Beijing uploaded a nearly complete sequence of the virus's structure to the U.S. government-run database December 28th, 2019. Chinese officials at that time were still publicly describing the virus as a viral pneumonia of unknown cause. They had yet to close that Hunan seafood wholesale market, which in that area, there was the initial COVID-19 outbreak. And that's why they gave them a cover story to distract people from the Wuhan lab. But China already knew what was going on. They did not share the virus's genetic sequence with the World Health Organization until January 11th, 2020. So that was a full 14 days later. This is not about whether the COVID virus came from an animal or a lab leak. But what it tells you is that we lost 2 weeks of figuring out what to do and how to mitigate things. In retrospect, they should have told us immediately, and they should have shut down plane traffic from China that day. And remember when Trump suggested and implemented the travel ban, he was called all kinds of names. Racist. The Chinese Communist Party is evil. That is not a good organization in the world. And it's being proven time and time again. With those extra 2 weeks, the world medical community could have figured out earlier how COVID-19 spread and get on offense. And everybody was blindsided. And to this day, nobody in the Chinese Communist Party has owned up to this and explained it. It's just leaked out in these documents. When they finally published, when the government published the sequence on January 12th, 2020, it was nearly identical to the sequence that was originally uploaded on December the 28th. And now we come, and this is what we're going to get into after Deborah's news, the new strain, the new product, GXP2V. And again, they injected this new strain into mice, and they all died within 8 days. And what keeps this from, whatever caused the virus to escape from the Wuhan lab the first time, what's going to keep this virus or any one of a thousand other things they're working on from escaping? I mean, have they, anybody believe that they've changed their security and safety requirements in China since this happened? Because the precautions weren't being followed all that strictly the first time back in 2019. So we'll get into this coming up on the John Cobalt Show. Deborah Mark is live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.